CBSi and the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, many years in Hong Kong and traveling Asia for the Wall Street Journal. I call upon Mary's experience with the Chinese Communist Party because an event that is much in the speculation zone of what does it mean, of an exchange between Xi Jinping, the now General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, sometimes known as chairman, and sitting next to him on his left, Hu Jintao, the previous General Secretary. The dispute is in question, but there really was something irregular going on between these two men, some kind of consultation on the stage involving papers, and it happened before the cameras. It happened after the world press was let into the room to witness this exchange. Could have happened at any time prior to that, and there wouldn't be video. So, Mary, I come to no conclusion, but I do draw upon your experience of the Chinese Communist Party. My understanding is that in meetings with the Secretary of State or with his counselors, the party is clockwork. There are no surprises. There are no last-minute dances. There are no missing chairs or there are explanations for everything beforehand. Is what we see on this video unusual, irregular, suggestive to you, Mary, who have experience with the party?
Yes, it's unusual in a totalitarian system to have any deviation from the script. And so that's why this incident is receiving so much attention. But John, we've also had a new piece of this video emerge in these last hours that call into question whether or not this was a scripted ejection and purge of Hu Jintao. And it just goes to show you, number one, context is very important in the news business. We have to make sure we have the entire video rather than a clip of it to analyze it and look at it. And secondly, it shows you just how little we actually know about the leadership, whether it's the Politburo Standing Committee or Xi Jinping himself. And so we're reduced to this kind of Soviet style, you know, frame by frame analysis of, you know, who nodded their head and who grimaced and, you know, who was closest to Xi and, you know, did who look askance as we walked by and was it an angry expression or a perturbed expression? You know, we have such little information here, and that's dangerous to us. This is a nuclear power. This is a general secretary that has unprecedented control over the Communist Party, who is openly threatening Taiwan and his neighbors and wants to supplant us and make the free world safe for totalitarianism again. And we have very little insight. And we shouldn't pretend that we do. And I'm often amused, John, when I pick up the newspaper or I watch television and you see these analysts kind of confidently predicting what will happen or what he thinks or this or that. They don't know. And our reporters don't have freedom of movement in China to tell us. So what they're doing is they probably have sources, you know, in the U.S. embassy or, you know, propagandists that are feeding them info and they're dutifully typing it up and regurgitating it for us. It's no surprise that we're looking at these videos, trying to understand them. It's a rare source of quote unquote primary information.
The markets, however, are telling a story that is very transparent. I read Bloomberg Asia edition headlines just now in these hours, Mary. China's budget deficit nears record $1 trillion as economy slows. Subhead, Chinese stocks in U.S. stage a rebound after record sell-off. Subhead, China's historic market rout goes missing from state newspapers, and on and on and on. The markets have voted thumbs down in the hours after the 20th Party Congress. The item that I circled in the Financial Times was information that the very well-to-do are leaving China quickly, forming family offices in Singapore, expectation of purges and a consolidation of Xi's power. So we're not looking, Mary, at a China that is easy to interpret, but it certainly looks like people are voting with their feet, or in this case, with their digital monetary transfers out of the country. Do you measure that China will rebound from this as it did in 2008 when it created $4 trillion to pour into its economy? Are we looking at a new China, a post-miracle China?
I think the goal of the communist leadership was always to detach from foreign capital and a foreign presence within China. They invited Western companies in to essentially learn their businesses, train up their people, and take our trade secrets and intellectual property. And now you see a more assertive Beijing that is making that strategy clear. In fact, there's a phrase for it. It's called the dual circulation strategy, where they want to keep us involved until they can stand up on their own. And they're creating, you know, a new ecosystem of markets for themselves with the No Limits partnership with Russia and the Belt and Road Initiative and all of the outreach they've done to Africa, which they see as a big consumer market for Chinese companies. So I think that, you know, the trajectory here is very clear, and it just sometimes takes markets a long time to wake up to reality. And I think they're waking up. That's the price action that you're seeing.
And therefore, the U.S. and our concern about China having to do with Taiwan and the threat to the neighborhood. But we also have a trading relationship with China. Is that going to be part of the Xi Jinping unprecedented third term that will go away, Mary? Do you see him turning his whole economy away from the U.S. trading, where the money has come from? We've helped pay for this rise to power of Xi Jinping, and going into a much poorer and much reduced future China.
Well, it's not just us that trade with China. You have the German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, who's planning a visit over there to kowtow to Beijing to beg for opportunities for German companies to do business with Chinese companies and Chinese consumers. Emmanuel Macron of France may follow him over there. There are plenty of countries that want to keep trading with China, find it in their interests. They're peppered throughout South America. We don't pay much attention to those relationships, but whether it's Peru or Chile or Argentina or Brazil, they're all doing business with China. They're very close to China. So, will China get poorer under Xi Jinping's policies? Yes, because he's taking actions that will make the economy less efficient by concentrating control in state hands. Does he care? No, not if it furthers his goal of strengthening the party at home and abroad. I think the U.S. trajectory is to disentangle from communist China. I think that's very bipartisan, very little disagreement about that. I think the kinds of export control measures you've seen on semiconductors will be probably imposed on other industries, for instance, pharmaceuticals or biotech or AI technology, very, very likely. In the near to medium term, it's just a matter of time. The world is breaking up into new blocks. It's going to be a free world block. There'll be a China-led block, and there'll be countries stuck in the middle that want to do business with both sides. And that's the era of history into which we're entering.
And Xi Jinping, the surveillance state, is that inevitable now, Mary? No interruption. We have 30 seconds.
He's built an Orwellian surveillance state, the likes of which the world has never seen, to consolidate his power over the Chinese people. He's selling it to other nations, including democracies and partners of ours, John, to help them control their people and to control dissent. And this is part of the new world that Xi Jinping wants to build. It is a world that cannot peacefully coexist with the United States and our allies, and that eventually, I fear, will lead to conflict unless there is some kind of event that we can't anticipate, you know, dissent within the Chinese leadership or, you know, a renewed movement for a free China. You don't know what the future holds. But for now, this is a very, very dangerous period that we're entering into.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.